Hey everyone, welcome to Locked On Lakers for Friday. Brian Kamenetsky and Andy Kamenetsky. No LeBron James for the Lakers Thursday night in Philadelphia, and you get a result you might have expected despite a monster game from Anthony Davis, 14 of 21 from the floor, 31 points. A lot to digest on Locked On Lakers coming up next.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I want to thank everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday. Get this thing up for you bright and early. Sometimes, Andy, Saturdays and Sundays. Even on the Lord's Day, we might get you one of the mini casts.
Lord is a Lakers fan. Everybody knows that.
That's right. And so, you know, we also have the Locked On Lakers YouTube channel, all that stuff we encourage you to subscribe to. And obviously, make another Locked On podcast your second listen. Maybe that Locked On Rams with our friend Travis Rogers. Big game on Sunday for the Rams. Yeah. NFC title game.
Looking forward to that one.
So a lot we want to get into, including fan behavior. Carmelo Anthony had an incident with a fan in Philly. And, you know, kind of a thing that happened during the game on Thursday, that is interesting and kind of big picture stuff. And the Lakers learned a little bit more about the supporting cast in ways that might not be so good. We have a LeBron James injury to talk about. All of that coming out of Thursday's game, 105-87. The Lakers lose to the Sixers in Philly. They dropped 24-25. They are once again under 500 with a difficult game Friday. Tonight against the Hornets in Charlotte as the road trip continues. So, you know, if they're not careful, they're going to end up two games under 500 and at best one game under when they come home. So, I mean, I think, Andy, for starters, you know, there's two big things out of this. There's AD, monster performance, and there's LeBron James, no performance because he missed it. Where would you like to start?
Well, I mean, with LeBron, I think it's just my hope is that this is not too serious, just in the sense that he was actually warming up before the game. And if nothing else, the possibility was there that LeBron could have played, because otherwise he wouldn't put himself through the paces if he knew that this wasn't doable. Mm-hmm. So that maybe it's a matter of just thinking, all right, second end, or we got a back-to-back coming up. You know, I take this one off, give myself 24 hours, maybe it'd be better for the second one, because the likelihood of playing in both could be low anyway. So let me try to play the odds to get myself better for the second one. I don't know. I mean, with this season, you can never feel too comfortable with anything.
I mean, look, was it like 36 hours ago or whatever it was? Everybody felt good after Brooklyn. Davis is back. You see the impact. LeBron was fantastic. It's like got a little momentum and like gone.
I mean, it feels emblematic that LeBron would have a sore knee because he's been carrying around like 3,000 combined pounds on his back during this period where AD hasn't been there. At some point, you know, it's going to start wearing on the knees.
Right. Well, I mean, a back injury would be cliche. So you got to move something like to the from carrying. I just, you know, what's funny, like, and Robert Horry was joking on on Spectrum Sportsnet, the Lakers postgame show, you know, in your 80th year, you know, these things start to pile up and you just have to start paying attention. He actually said that, LeBron, in his 80th year. And, you know, Worthy was talking about a season he lost. They were suspecting it was, you know, tendonitis and all this stuff. And I am pleased that LeBron is understanding the big picture. I mean, look, there's a lot of pressure for the Lakers to win games right now. They have to win. These games are of consequence, even if, you know, the guys aren't playing or whatever. And he can't. You can't risk the rest of the season. You can't risk whatever opportunity that they have by playing with an injury that you can resolve in a day or two. Maybe he doesn't play Friday. But you can't have this linger, because if it does, the Lakers have zero chance. We can debate as much as we want how big a chance they have if everybody plays, but they have zero chance if LeBron is on the shelf going into the playoffs or is diminished. So as frustrating as it is, I'm sure, for him, this is clearly the right decision.
On the plus side, though, Brian, if the Lakers regularly can get games like this from Anthony Davis and everybody else not named Russell or Westbrook could, you know, just show up, They can win some games.
Yeah, let's talk. Let's talk about AD because I have some thoughts on the supporting cast.
I was just going to say
bad tonight, but let's start with the optimistic stuff before I have to get all negative and just talk about what AD did on Thursday because he was tremendous.
Yeah, 31 points, 14 of 21 from the field, 12 rebounds, 4 blocks. It was a game where he was extremely active on both ends of the floor, like really. We've talked a lot about wanting to see Anthony Davis perform like a truly, not just foundational player, but like a transformational player. And this was the type of game that he played. Like if everybody else, again, not named Russell or Westbrook, who, you know, Russ was not perfect in this game, but he certainly chipped in. If everybody else had just had a modest amount of production as opposed to nothing, Lakers could have won this game, you know, based on what AD was doing. And another thing in terms of it being a really good sign is in terms of AD's headspace right now moving forward is he did not beat around the bush with the idea of, yeah, I was excited to have this game against Joel Embiid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, talking about how, and this almost felt like subtweeting himself, Joel Embiid has been putting his own team on his back and has really been carrying this team. And he described it rightly as a battle on both ends. Both of them got the best of each other at certain points. At worst, it was a draw. But either way, you're talking about Anthony Davis going up against not just, you know, arguably the best center in the league, but one of the most elite defensive players in the game. And again, if nothing else, played him to a draw.
I would argue maybe AD was a little bit better. I mean, might have been. On the other hand, you know, scoreboard, but
That's why I'm saying arguably.
Yeah, sure. I mean, but it almost doesn't matter. Like, because he was aggressive, he was fluid, he was decisive. And it was like, I got the sense of, yeah, I know this is Joel Embiid and he's been amazing. And everybody paid Embiid the proper amount of compliments and respect after the game. But it's like, you got a sense of, okay, he's Joel Embiid, but I'm Anthony Bleepin' Davis. And that's the kind of attitude that I think Lakers fans and Lakers players have, and the organization has kind of wanted to see from him. It's not that he doesn't hold himself to a high standard. It's not that he doesn't try to play, but almost that he's too deferential sometimes to making the right play and being some of the same criticisms we used to make about Powell. You know, just a little bit too regimented in being correct and not forcing. And I thought Thursday, what you got was the best of both of it. He wasn't forcing, but was also really aggressive and really deciding. You saw the full range of the things that he could do aside from three-point shooting, where he had, an air ball, but in his only attempt. But his only attempt. But, you know, there was, a really smart play. Had an open three, not feeling comfortable there, couple dribbles in to the mid-range shot, which he was feeling comfortable with. So just... I want to talk a little bit more about AD after the break because this is really important for the Lakers. So a couple more things on AD, and then Andy, we go negative about the supporting cast because man, did they suck on Thursday. We'll talk about all that next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online wants to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue the march to the playoffs and beyond. Bet Online remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action for 2022. It's a new year and a new updated desktop and mobile website. To sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, just use the promo code LOCKEDON to get started. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, and UFC, right down to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for 2022. Bet Online, the fastest, easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. Bet Online, where the games start.
Andy, you said something I thought was interesting and important regarding AD and how he talked about the matchup against Embiid after the game. And, you know, again, obviously, the Lakers, there are no moral victories at this point because it's too deep into the season. If they were 12 games over 500, you look at this game, it's, you know, no LeBron, road trip, throw it away, they played hard, better team, whatever. You can't do that right now because they need every game and they're under 500 and all that stuff. But just in terms of where AD is, that interest and excitement and about playing against Embiid, I wonder too, Frank Vogel was asked, is this going to be the thing? Like there are, you know, Embiid is the type of player that maybe you would start Dwight Howard, but they didn't. They went with AD. Dwight played because, you know, Andre Drummond is the backup and all that stuff. And then when he was asked about it, AD kind of talked about, well, yeah, I didn't have to used to do that stuff because JaVale was there, Dwight was there. It was just never my deal. Now the way things work and guys are in and out of the rotation, it is my deal. How much do you think just say, like, knowing this is what it's going to be? And Vogel didn't commit to that 100%, but it's pretty clear. I think this is what it's going to be because Frank doesn't commit to anything lineup wise publicly like that. How much do you though think it helps that AD just knows it doesn't matter who the opposing center is, I'm going to start at center and this is how we're going to play?
I think it actually matters a lot.
I agree with you. That's why I asked.
And in part because of what you were talking about before, where AD can be a very self-regimenting player. Like, he is somebody that I think at times can put himself in a box through being deferential or just knowing what the schemes are supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not just breaking out of that box every now and then again. And it's been obvious for a long time. He has considered himself a four and considered a five something completely different. And like you said before, not his deal. But similar to the way he was playing against Joel Embiid, which was a lot of freedom. And, you know, he even phrased it as getting back to my old self. When you were talking about that, Brian, it reminded me of that line in the movie Risky Business with Tom Cruise, where his buddy, played by Curtis Armstrong, says to him, sometimes you just got to say what the bleep, make your move. Every now and then saying what the bleep brings freedom. Freedom brings opportunity. Opportunity makes your future. Like, AD is somebody that you want to see say more often what the bleep. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. And the way he played in this game and the things that he was saying afterwards felt very what the bleep to me. And I like that.
It's a really great way of putting it. And look, I mean, I think in, you know, you watch this game.
Bleep is the F word.
No. The turkey is a bad person. So, I mean, you watch this game and you see, like, we going back to the preseason, it's like, okay, like, the Lakers are going to rise. They went pot committed to we're going to have three superstars and the sheer talent of those guys is going to win it. But, you know, it's not enough for LeBron to be LeBron, Westbrook to be Westbrook, and Davis to be really good. Davis has to be elite. Davis has to mm-hmm. be an MVP candidate like LeBron. And then you expect Westbrook to, you know, be that sort of all-star caliber guy kind of filling it out. Like, you don't put that kind of, you know, all in, you know, you don't put first team all NBA on Russ, but you can put that on AD. And I don't know if this AD plus a healthy LeBron plus Westbrook is enough to get them through the Western Conference, to get them into the finals and maybe win. At this point in the season, just given how long the evidence says no, it is not. But if there is a, you know, whatever chance that is, 10%, 15%, 20%, it is predicated on AD being this guy. And so to see it two games after he comes back from injury is really encouraging. And it is the only path I think they have to a title.
Yeah. I mean, it's something that I hope AD really relishes. And again, I really like the way he talked about not just going up against Embiid and like just enjoying the matchup as a competitor and a basketball player, but again, recognizing what Embiid has been doing for his team. Because you may have heard, Brian, Ben Simmons hasn't been playing for him. And
I you know, I read that somewhere, but I haven't been following.
And I mean, we can get into a whole different rabbit hole conversation about how I think what Philly's doing right now, hanging on to Ben Simmons, right, is straight up malpractice from a front office perspective, leaving this dude who's playing at an MVP level out to dry in an NBA that's basically wide open, but mm-hmm. separate conversation. We have time to have it. But AD should take, for lack of a better way of putting it, inspiration from that. Like, that should be the type of goal that he sets for himself this season, even with LeBron back, even if Russell Westbrook is in a groove, he should always be thinking about acting like, this is my team.
Yep, agree.
Like, forget the politics, the dynamics of it, whatever. This is my team.
And it's funny. I just on a side note, then before we get to the sporting cast, it was really fun. It's just fun to watch AD and Embiid both engaged and playing, because in a lot of ways, they're like the yin and yang of the same kind of player, incredibly freakishly large people who should not be able to move in the way that they do with a varied skill set. Embiid's become a much better passer, a much better, you know, sort of seer of the floor and all that kind of stuff. They both run the floor incredibly well. And it's like Embiid is the super strong physical powerhouse version of this guy. And AD is more of the fluid, you know, I don't mean finesse as a pejorative, but like a little bit more of a finesse, a little bit more smooth and elegant version of this. But there are a lot of commonalities in how they play both on both sides of the ball. And to see AD moving his feet against Embiid and just straight up block him a couple times. He's got 8 blocks in 2 games. And so the Lakers defense was not great on Thursday, but the flip side, they only gave up 105 points. They really had trouble scoring. They only had one quarter over 25 points. And so that was the problem. And that gets us to, you know, I mentioned the formula for the Lakers, 3 stars and some other guys. And, you know, tonight was a night that Thursday was kind of a night that reinforced that, because the only way the Lakers are going to win this game, 14 of 21 from Davis, 9 of 15 from Russ, had some bad turnovers, but he was also put in a position where he needed to force things a little bit more because LeBron wasn't there. Somebody else had to do something. And they get 1 of 6 from Stanley Johnson, 1 of 4 from Avery Bradley, 3 of 13 from Malik Monk, 4 of 11 from Carmelo. Wayne Ellington was 1 of 4. Austin Reeves was 0 for 4. Talen Horton-Tucker was terrible. He was 2 of 8 and was all over the damn place. Like, you know, you got 51 points from the two guys and 36 from everyone else. That is just not enough. And it reinforces to me, this supporting cast is very limited if you don't have all 3 of your stars.
In particular, too, if you don't have LeBron there to set them up. Because, you know, Westbrook is obviously a good passer, but he is not a passer. I mean, especially now that you really, you know, this is the most either one of us have watched Russ on a game-in, game-out basis. He obviously can pass because it's impossible to get assists at the clip that he does without being able to do it. But there are passes and there are next level seeing everything.
LeBron is Magic Johnson-esque in his ability to see the floor. Russ is not.
Right. And that difference, you know, between having LeBron as the guy whose passes matter the most versus Russ's passes mattering the most, you can feel that. It's palpable. And again, I don't even mean this as a knock on Russ so much as an acknowledgement of just those dudes need LeBron. I mean, it's almost like the curse of playing with LeBron is that anybody else performing in his function, the drop-off is going to be huge.
Right. And people are going to look at Russ and be like, 3 assists. Come on, man. You need it. But it's like, I just read you the numbers. I just read you the numbers of everybody else who was taking shots. It's like, but definitionally, Russ can't have 10 assists when Malik is 3 of 13 and Carmelo is 4 of 11 and Stanley Johnson's 1 of 6 and Avery Bradley's 1 of 4. Like, guys got to make shots for somebody else to get an assist.
They only had 36 baskets in the entire game.
Yeah, it was really bad. And I just, you know, I fans are kind of geared up, I think, to get angry at Russ. And he had, some egregious turnovers and a terrible possession at the end of the first half. But overall, Russ was not the reason they did not win this game. And so it shows you the limitations. THT, who I don't know if we'll get to the trade stuff tonight, but like,
it's starting to feel less relevant.
He's throwing a real wrench in the Lakers' ability to use him as a trade chip.
We'll get into this, but whether or, you know, if not today in another future show, whether or not Jeremy Grant actually is excited at the prospect of being a Laker potentially, it doesn't really matter if the Pistons wouldn't take THT.
Right. And so, you know, this is a thing. You know, Reeves, the other night in Brooklyn I don't think he scored, right? But he might have one bucket.
But was really
good in every other way. This was one of those nights where he didn't score and didn't have an impact, which I think, you know, you pointed out happens a lot when the best guys aren't there. He's like a really great glue guy when you have all your other really good players.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It is difficult for Austin Reeves to elevate, I think, a team. He's not really a player who can elevate things when they're not going well. He's somebody who can make it better when they are. And, you know, if a team is rolling, Austin Reeves can really help be in the right place, you know, make the right play.
He needs the IQ of LeBron and all these other guys kind of working and orchestrating, because he plays off of that better than being a guy who's going to fix something when it isn't working.
Exactly.
So yeah, I mean, this is a limited roster when you get by. I mean, as the Malik Monk's a great story, but he's not a reliable, okay, well, these guys are out. He's not Tobias Harris, who you can kind of is a reliable player in this league, and THT is inconsistent. And Avery, this is a superstar driven team, and they were missing the most important one. There was an incident with a fan, Andy, and Carmelo Anthony in the second half of the game that, got a fan thrown out, and, Melo talked a little bit about it after the game.
Not just a fan, fans.
Fans. Yeah. And it was kind of an interesting moment in a lot of ways. And I know it's something that you wanted to talk about, so let's do that next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Built Bar. It's the new year, and that means New Year's resolutions. And if yours is about getting fit, eating healthier, Built Bar can be a part of that plan. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, allows you to eat healthy, but keeps it from being boring. So like in 3 weeks, you're not saying to yourself, dude, this just isn't worth it. Where's my chocolate? Well, Built Bars, they are covered in 100% chocolate. Only 130 calories, most of them, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, but 17 grams of protein, and that's the good stuff. A lot of great flavors to choose from, coconut almond, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, cookies and cream, and down the line. So go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, get 15% off your first order. Again, promo code LOCKED15, 15% off at built.com.
Yeah, so look, I mean, this is one of those games that matters. It's important that, the Lakers can't blow it. It's hard to analyze it. We all, at this point, we know what they are without LeBron. It's just like, it's another one of these games. It's like one less game for the big three to play together before the trade deadline. It's one less game for the big three to play together before, the end of the season. And it's incredibly frustrating, I'm sure, for them. One guy though who saw something a little different in terms of what's been a weird season was Carmelo Anthony, who was heckled, I guess, by a group of people or whatever it was.
It seemed like it was two fans, just because from the television set, and obviously you can't tell everything that's happening, it looked like two fans were escorted out.
Mm-hmm.
So two fans at least. I don't know about more, but I'm guessing it was two.
So we saw this in Indiana where LeBron had pointed to a fan. It was in Indiana, correct, I believe, where LeBron had pointed to a fan and had that fan tossed from the game. Doesn't matter which city. But like, this is something that you see more frequently now, where players hear heckling, they hear things that cross a line and stop and get people removed. And you see, stadium security, other teams, even sometimes other fans, pointing to other fans who cross a line and getting them tossed from games. It's an interesting development that I'm happy to see. I mean, I don't think there's a certain line that players should not have to put up with just because they're professional athletes and you paid to watch a game.
Yeah. I mean, according to Chris Haynes, a great reporter at Yahoo and also one of the most plugged in NBA guys there is.
I think pretty plugged into Melo.
Yeah, he tweeted out, quote, "Sixers fan that was ejected for taunting Los Angeles Lakers star Carmelo Anthony kept calling him a boy and yelling, 'Get in the corner, boy, keep shooting, boy,' league sources tell Yahoo Sports." Obviously, that is very loaded, specific.
That's just racially. That's super racist.
Yeah, I mean, that is just,
it just is
right. And there's no way to interpret that other than with the racial tones to it, and
particularly if you keep going back to it,
right?
Exactly. One time, I'm sorry, man. It's not how I meant it. I'm just trying to, when you keep going at it, you know what you're saying.
Exactly, and
it's like when your phone auto corrects like a text to the, or like a tweet to the N word, and you're like, oh man, it was auto corrected. Well, you've typed that before. because your phone's not just going to autocorrect. It's a bad autocorrect. So you can't hide behind, oh, I didn't mean it that way. You yell boy at a player like that multiple times. Come on.
Yeah. And Melo said after the game that, you know, he's cool with heckling. He's cool with trash talking. He's cool with opposing fans cheering for their team. And Melo is not, I mean, neither one of us know him well, but he's never struck me as somebody who is overtly easily offended. Like that does not seem to be Carmelo Anthony in that sense, like somebody who is going to be looking for slights from everybody specifically to get offended by them, because obviously there are people like that who exist. That doesn't seem to be Melo.
Right.
And, you know, he had basically said, like, I'm cool with that sort of stuff. I'm cool with you coming at me. But there's a line, and everybody knows what the line is. And if you cross that line, essentially, I'm not going to take that bleep from you. And it's interesting, too. You shouldn't have to. But what I also think is interesting is, I believe this season alone, we've had incidents just on the Lakers with Melo, with Russ, with LeBron.
Oh, I forgot about the Russ thing. You're right.
And yeah, maybe there was a Rondo. I don't remember, but I know those three for sure. And one thing that those three or four guys have in common is they're not the types to be shrinking violets and put up with stuff that's out of pocket. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, nobody should have to, but those are four guys that won't.
Well, they have agency, I think, at this point in their careers to feel like they just that's not something I got to hear.
Yeah, and it's funny you say the word agency, because I tried to ask Melo after the game and I just didn't get called on over the Zoom. But one of the things that I wanted to ask him was just the idea of, okay, you've been in this league now almost 20 years, and it's felt like, from my perspective, there's been a rise of these type of incidents, you know, particularly in the NBA, but you could even look across sports over the last few years. Speaking just from the NBA perspective, because that's the one Melo knows the most, like, have things gotten worse over the almost 20 years Melo's been in the league? Or do players just feel more empowered, like they have more agency, like they have more backing from the league to just say, F off, man, I'm not taking this.
Right.
Like, I know you've heard this before too, Brian, but like, when I've heard players talk about this, you know, different ones, different teams, even different sports, I've often heard them say something to the effect of, we're not circus animals. You know, like we aren't, and it's, I think, very pointed that that's the phrase that they use, like circus animals. Like, we are just out here less than human to entertain you as a fan in any way you see fit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like, ultimately our emotions don't really matter. And, you know, circuses over the years, decades have been often known for cruelty, or at least have had, you know, episodes of fans or even the people running the circus treating the animals disrespectfully and cruelly. And, you know, they've said, like, you know, we're not behind either some zoo cage or, you know, inside an aquarium for you just to gawk at and do whatever the hell you want with us. Like, we're people, and as people, there is a line, you know, damn well you shouldn't be crossing. And I'm just curious to see, like, has this gotten worse, or was it always like this?
Or it could be a little bit of both. It's gotten a little worse, and players just feel more empowered not to have to put up with it. Or maybe it's not as bad as it used to be, but in those moments where it is bad, they feel they don't have to put up with it. I mean, I don't know the answer to that question. I've never been able to afford to sit courtside like that. I will say this. I mean, it certainly could be worse. We are particularly now, I think, a more caustic and meaner society than we were 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Not that there weren't divisions, not that there weren't a-holes, and not that there were, but, like, you know, something is sort of fundamentally broken or different, or the pandemic, the stress, whatever, all these things that have come through in the last few years. Without getting sidetracked on why or how, I just think it's fair to say we are a generally meaner society than we used to be.
There,
and, a, you know, there are more people who feel like they have permission to behave in ways like that than there used to be. And I am glad that Carmelo Anthony, LeBron James, and any other athlete don't feel like they have to put up with that, because they don't. And I'm glad, I'm happy when I see teams, you know, run their own fans out of a building. I am happy when I see other fans point to be like, these are the people, because they're making our fan base look like bleeps. Like, yes, that is how this should happen. And so, kudos to Melo for speaking up. Kudos to Philly for tossing those people out of the game and all that. So
there was, by the way, too, just a massive security guard that was involved with escorting the two gents.
It is Philly.
Out. And, well, it was funny. All I was thinking was, when that guy says it's time to go, it's time to go. Like, it is just time to go.
The guy was always, I wasn't even there. I was four rows away. It doesn't matter. I'm leaving. So I'm not going to argue the point.
No, I mean, if that guy had looked into like a camera somewhere and said, Andy, it's time for you to go, I'd have left off my TV.
That's right.
I didn't even
Gotta
do
go.
Anything.
Gotta go. Wasn't even there.
All right.
So we will we'll see what happens on Friday, whether or not LeBron plays, whether or not Anthony Davis plays. He did hurt his wrist, came back, played more in the game. Probably not that serious if the Lakers let him keep playing in a game that they were highly unlikely to win. So at least some encouraging signs there. AD said it was sore after the game, but didn't seem concerned. They took x-rays. They were negative and all that. But it is an interesting proposition as to whether or not LeBron will play, whether or not AD is ready to play on the second night of a back-to-back. And if those guys can't play, or one of the two of them is gone, it's another game that goes out the window in terms of the big three together before the trade deadline thing that we've spent a lot of time on this week. We will try to bring you a little mini cast for Saturday following Friday's game, as we've been doing over the last few weeks on these Friday night games. So cross our fingers, we'll be able to do that. And if not, we'll see everybody on Monday. Again, Locked On Lakers, your first listen of every day. Locked On Lakers on YouTube. Go ahead and subscribe. See everybody this weekend or Monday.